for this title. And he's got to go to Middlesbrough and get something. And I'll tell you, honestly, I will love it if we beat them. Love it.
Yes, everybody, what's happening? Stephen Howson. This is The Warm Down today, joined by my mate, Petrol Menga, undefeated.
Of course.
Future UFC champion. We don't say that lightly, though.
We actually no, we're dead serious.
We planned it, haven't we?
Yeah,
I'm driving that bandwagon bus,
me,
mate.
Yeah,
serious, United wise. Fan.
Of course.
We're going to turn him into the MMA equivalent of Anthony Crawler. So it's go watch United away. Go watch Menga beat the fuck out of people.
Yeah.
So we're going to talk about United, and we're going to talk, because you've got a fight coming up in a couple of weeks. Which hopefully then is that stepping stone to getting in and getting that UFC strap. The last time he fought, that was your last fight, wasn't it? Bellator in London?
Yeah, 2016 it was, actually.
So, his last fight, a bit. I'm like, see the ring walk, I'm going to have a piss. So I go for a piss, I come back. He goes behind a cage post, hits the guy, we're 20 seconds into the fight, he hits him, it's over, and I missed the punch. It was a one-punch KO, and I missed the punch because it was behind a post as I was walking back to my seat. I was like...
Do you know what? I had two coaches full of people travelling up from Salford to that 5-6 hour coach drive. One of them managed to get up the stairs, onto the top of the balcony, looked, seen the fight, turned around, he's won, it's over. 80 people missed the fight.
I remember you coming sitting next to us and telling us, like, no one's seen it.
I didn't know where to put my face. I could not believe it. What happened was Alex Reid apparently had a little hissy fit, so they swapped all the fight card round. I was higher up, put me lower. My fight was scheduled to be a little bit later. Everyone missed the fight.
It was a fucking boring fight and all. If they'd have put him on before you, everyone would have been well sat down. I think he went to a decision.
Distance.
I think he did.
Yeah. I went from fight 6 to like fight 2, so everyone missed the fight. Yeah, you got loads of time. Don't worry about it.
That was the card. I was actually talking about this morning. So that was the card. MVP broke.
Yeah.
We're saying like you would. We're getting deep into MMA here, but we will talk about football. That's why we're here. But we're just getting out of the way. So you would rather be knocked out, wouldn't you, than have your skull caved in that sense? How mad is it that you can take that with your skull breaks?
See the Thai boxing one not long ago with the elbow.
Yeah,
there's a dint on.
You probably wouldn't have heard it, but I was cage side, obviously. So. When MVP hit him, it sounded disgusting. Like a cricket bat snapping. Absolutely it was disgusting. A loud...
What did he do after it? Rolled a Pokemon ball at him or something, didn't he?
I mean, he went down and screamed and was holding his head straight away. Yeah. And I didn't see what it was instantly. I was just like, oh shit, that sounded bad. I thought maybe it was his nose or the jaw.
Yeah.
The guy in front of me goes, he's got a fold in his head. And I was like, what? And then we looked at it on the replay, you're like, that's
disgusting.
Bad.
I was sat backstage, actually. I don't know what I was doing. I just heard, and everyone just went silent. I thought, that don't sound good.
I don't think he can fight again, can he?
No, he's got to
fight after
that.
It's metal plate.
I thought I was on for knockout of the night until that happened.
But ended up in all the press, didn't he? Because he did the Pokemon.
That's
how long ago it was. It was in the middle of that Pokemon craze for MVP doing that. So have you been anyway?
Been good, mate. Been good. I opened a gym. That's why they're pretty much the inactivity. The One MMA, of course, got to represent the inactivity.
It's all around the corner from here, isn't it?
One MMA in the Man United colours. You know, there's a theme behind that. In Salford, Swinton. Where's the road in Swinton, and that's took off brilliantly. And
mate, I see that. Obviously, I follow you on Instagram. Every class is packed. Yeah, you can see a lot of kids in there.
So many kids. I think, especially with the area that we're from. I mean, just like anywhere around here, really tough areas. Loads of young kids want to get into sports. You know, want to get off the streets. I'd like to think so. And that's what the doors are open for, getting all the young ones in. And they've just got that fighter mentality where they just come in and get stuck in. They want to compete all the time. They want to fight. I have to kind of hold them back, really.
Oh, you say it's my lad really got his first tap on Saturday last week. He was fucking on cloud nine with it.
Grappling, wicked.
He got a rear naked choke on someone.
Oh, wicked.
He fucking loved it. He was absolutely buzzing. Munching on his blueberries.
Fucking bucket full of blueberries.
Right, so United, we've just wrapped up the January transfer window. So we're recording this prior to Spurs. Hopefully it goes out today, should there be no matter with the editing of it. But it's a bit of a positive vibe at the minute, isn't
there? Oh, there is, isn't there? I mean, there is. There definitely is. I'm just sat here, just waiting to watch it unfold. Just interested to see how everything unfolds.
The league's gone, though, isn't it?
Yeah,
I think they've lost.
Statistically, is it?
I think
still
they've lost two more than us, something like that. Two more and drawn two more, or drawn three more and lost two more.
Mm.
It's not. They could hit a skid.
Yeah.
But that's reliant on us being perfect, which.
Back to back.
I don't think it's probably going to happen, to be honest with you. But. I think Mourinho's probably going to keep it going to like mid-March, April, and he goes, forget it, if we're still in European competition. And I think he could do what he did a bit last season, like might see a bit more of Angel Gomez, you might see a bit more of that, which would be good. I think we can do a bit of a madness in the Champions League, mate.
Do you reckon?
Yeah, and I'd actually love it if we shithoused our way all the way through it, just everyone seeing their ass with like parking the bus against Paris Saint-Germain and hitting them 1-0 at home.
Yeah.
And everyone just flipping out, and people talking about the beautiful football they're playing, the beautiful football City are playing, and then for United to just shithouse our way into winning it. It'd be mental, wouldn't it?
That would be something special. That if
we can't win the league this year, the only thing that we can do to shut them lot up is to win the Champions League a week after. Because no one's going to talk about them winning the league, are they?
No one's going to talk about them anyway, but no one's going to talk about them if we do that. No, I mean, the way things are unfolding, although the potential that we've got at the minute and the direction we're going, there's no reason why not. And I think a lot of teams out there, especially in the Champions League, the run we've had the last few years, are going to underestimate us, aren't they?
You've got Mourinho, who can do it over two games against anybody. And I mean, and literally any team in the world, if they pulled United out of a hat, goes...
Yeah.
No one gets us and goes...
I think
that's important, because you've got Mourinho. Then you've got the hell of a spine that we've got. David De Gea could win us a game on his own.
Yeah.
You've got Bale, who could possibly win us a game on his own. Pogba definitely can win us a game on his own. And then Lukaku, and now Sanchez into the mix as well. And we're not even talking about Jesse Lingard yet.
Lingard. He's the one. He's special, isn't he? He's something special, him.
So, I mean, we sound like we're joking, but in a big game, does anyone turn up in big games more than Jesse Lingard?
Do you know what? I was watching a couple of highlights last night on him. It was actually the highlights on his celebrations, and it got onto his goals and some of the things that he put away, even early in his, you know, when he first started coming into the first team. Just ridiculous.
He scored four or five on his debut at Birmingham or Brighton or something when he went on loan. Yeah, I think when he went out on loan.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
And people think he's a winger, but he's not a winger. He always played down the centre. Yeah. And Mourinho started him down the centre, and he's just... After reason, I think Mkhitaryan's been shoved out to Arsenal is because he's like, "Fuck, do I need you for?" And I've got Jesse Lingard.
Yeah. Where do you think the direction's going with him, though? Do you think he's going to be this dangerous danger man that comes on 60 minutes in, then just absolutely, you know, is he going to be starting all the time?
I don't know. We've literally just finished our preview for Full Time Devils, and we were picking our starting 11s, and you're like, is Sanchez going to play on the right? Is he going to play on the left? Mkhitaryan's going to start. It'll be Lukaku up front. He's going to play Lingard in the 10. He's going to play Sanchez in the 10. Oh, what if he plays a three-man midfield? Is that Herrera or Lingard? And you're like, it's good to have options moment. Yeah, and that makes it hard for people to predict what we're going to play, which means it's hard for them to train and account for what we're going to play. So I think it's very interesting. I hope Mourinho's... The only criticism I've got of Mourinho, which I think is probably valid, is he likes a set starting 11.
Mm.
So if he could mix it up a little bit with the options we've got...
Spoiled for choice, isn't it? I think, as well as we've seen in the past, though, it only takes a couple of knocks here and there, and then we're like, shit,
we're covered now, aren't we? If Marshall gets injured, you're like, all right, don't panic.
Yeah.
If Lukaku even got injured,
he's come well lately, hasn't he, Marshall? Yeah. Oof, he has come well lately.
If Lukaku got injured, we'd probably panicked a bit ago.
Yeah.
Oh, now what? We'd be like, oh, it's okay.
Yeah.
You know, we put Sanchez on the left, we put Marshall up front. Yeah. Is anyone scared of that? I'm not scared of that.
No. Where do you think he likes the left, doesn't he, Sanchez?
I'm unsure of where we're going to play him big time, because I think he was very effective for Arsenal on the left, but also in the middle. And obviously at Barcelona he played on the right. So I think he can play any of those positions. I just think while he's settling into the team, he'll probably keep him on the left where he's used to playing until he can figure out how to get him in, because Wan-Mata has been playing brilliant football this season. It'd be wrong to drop him.
What do you think the future holds with Mata?
Well, he's not signed a contract, has he? The word on the street is
he'll
be gone. And that might make a bit of sense if he brings Ozil in as well, and then Mata's allowed to leave. You're like, okay, so I think they're very similar footballers, but if Mata's got a desire to go back to Spain, which is supposedly what the case is, then it makes a bit of sense, I think.
He's a special one, though, isn't he? He does some serious playmaking on that pitch.
He's just not physical, is he? Which makes you think Mourinho wouldn't fancy him.
Mm.
But saying that, I think he's going to keep his place at the moment.
The way he's playing, isn't he?
Although I would love, I've got to get on record, man. I would love to see Sanchez on the right, Marshall on the left, Lukaku on the middle. Bring it on.
That's dangerous.
Whoever you've got, bring it on.
You got your Rashfords coming on. You've got your Lingards coming on.
Mata, you're like I said a second ago, we're spoiled for choice, aren't we?
Dangerous, very dangerous.
What do you reckon about the press perception of United at the minute? Because City have just signed another £60 million defender, which means they've spent like nearly £350 million on defenders.
Is that what they've spent?
Yeah, on defenders and goalkeepers. And
Some bill that.
How laughable it was, and he was talking about they couldn't afford Sanchez, so they pulled out.
Yeah.
Well, I think he looked at the opportunities to play at City.
Almost definitely.
And looked at the opportunities to play at United. And I reckon Mourinho said to him, you'll play every week here.
Yeah,
almost
definitely.
I don't think Guardiola could have given him those assurances.
Yeah, no, I don't think he could.
And I think more than the money, that played a factor in him coming to United.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, looking at the City, that City midfield, that City strike force, Sanchez will fit in anywhere in the world, but is he going to fit in better at City? With the type of play they've got, or is he going to fit in better with us with the type of play we've got?
Well, you think United are trying to make a counter-attacking force, aren't they? That's what Mourinho's going for, and he fits that.
Always been our bread and butter, really, hasn't it? We've always been brilliant at it.
And Mourinho doesn't really have like a really defined style of play, so I think he allows the players the freedom to just sort of figure it out themselves.
Yeah.
And Sanchez, I think, really suits that. So yeah. He knows what he wants to do with the ball. Mourinho's happy to just, you know, I think Mourinho works on defensive shape. When you get the ball, I don't know, do what you want.
Yeah, yeah.
But Guardiola is all about what you do with the ball and all about how they do this and that. And obviously, he's worked with him at Barcelona, and there was times where they fell out at Barcelona because he was so direct. Mm. He doesn't get his head up and want to pass it first.
Yeah,
he wants to get it and run it.
Yeah, he was gone.
And I think he looked at that. He looked at what he already knew with Guardiola, and I think he said to him, do you know what? I can see myself at 29 sitting on the bench a lot if I'm not doing what Guardiola wants me to do.
Oh, no doubt about it.
He did it with a lot of Aguero last season as well, and I think
he's probably looked at that and gone,
start every week at United. If he goes to City, he's going to win a Premier League winners medal probably this year. But he's gate crashing a party that he didn't build it, did he? Where if he comes to United, and
we're still a fresh sheet, really. Aren't we're still building.
We could do it next year, not a problem. I think.
Ooh, I think next year will be a big year for us, no doubt about it. And like you said, Champions League. Let's see how that goes. Still. Very interesting times, isn't it? But yeah, back to your question. I mean, the press, I don't really like it. I don't know. I don't really know. It's a weird one, isn't it? The way they come across is very, very strange. But there's only one way to solve that, and that's shut them up. And let's see how the Champions League one goes. Let's see how the rest of the league plays out.
By the time you're probably watching this might have already be out of date. If we beat Spurs tomorrow, away on the road to a top six rival, that's surely got to shut up a lot of people.
That's because they're a very dangerous team, aren't they? Especially at home.
If we beat them on our own turf tomorrow, that shuts
sends a big message out, that. Sends a massive message out, doesn't it?
If we don't beat them, then I didn't mean any of this.
Yeah. If we don't beat them, we're still finding our feet. You know, new players coming in and...
But yeah, I think the perception of, like, this... The press started it with the Pep versus Jose stuff. And it's good versus evil, and it's all of these things feeding into it. It's almost like a comic book, isn't it?
I just love that we took him from under their nose. Not even from under their nose. I just love that their name was mentioned, aren't it? And we took him. I just love it.
But it doesn't happen often. I mean, the press will make you believe it happens all the time, but this one actually happened.
Yeah.
It was clearly him for him, and we clearly did come in and get him. And I think for the reasons we've already said, I think he adds so much to our attack, doesn't he? I mean, when you think of game winners in the squad. He's an absolute game.
Like we were saying before, I know that the Yeovil match is nothing to go off. It's, you know, a minor league team. But, I mean, you've just seen things with him that he was looking... It's like he's been there 6 months already. I don't know, there weren't much in front of him other than studs flying at his legs. But, you know, I just think he's going to gel. He's just going to...
If you stop the supply coming from Pogba to Lukaku, you can shut United down quite effectively, I think, at the moment. Now you've got another guy that you've got to shut down, and I think those options is like the criticism Ronaldo used to get was, oh, he never does it in the big games. You know why he never did it in the big games? Because they just double marked him because he's the big threat. And I think that happened with Pogba a little bit last season, like you double mark him and United didn't have anywhere else to go. That's why I think another midfielder would be handy. But now if you're double marking Pogba, I think Sanchez can come in.
He'll pull away, won't he? If
Lingard, and there's options, there's people who can come and make things happen. And I reckon that's a big thing for us. When I look at the Champions League, which is, if we won the FA Cup, no one's going to give a fuck. We won the FA Cup a couple of years ago and sat Louis van Gaal.
Yeah, the day after. We won the Cup.
Same day, essentially, wasn't it? But yeah, like, we won the Europa and the League Cup last year, and it was like, we threw him in the cup and was like, right, next year then.
Yeah, next year, yeah.
So we're not going to have a parade unless we win the Champions League. That's the only thing we're going to have a parade for. Maybe the
league. Imagine that, the situation we're in at the minute. That's...
How many people would have to eat humble pie if we did that? And, right, are we going to beat Sevilla? I would say probably. Yeah. You can't say for definite because no, football, no. But you know, I would say we're in a very good position to beat Sevilla. So we beat Sevilla. It's quarterfinals. Now what?
It's anyone's from there, isn't it?
So right, let's say we get a favourable draw in a quarterfinal, and then you're in the semi. Semi-final.
Dogfight it to the final.
Semi-final. You get a bit of luck in a semi-final. Yeah. Some a bit of magic from Lukaku or Pogba or Sanchez. Then you're in the final. And then it's who's got the bottle. And I would back Jose Mourinho against every other manager in the world to shithouse his way through a final.
Oh yeah, most definitely.
And a one-off game, he'd be like, yes, I think we're having it.
I think there's probably a lot of teams out there that have written us off already as well. Mm. In the, you know, looking at future matchups and thinking, you know what?
But Real Madrid are back-to-back Champions League winners. I'd be fucking buzzing if we got them.
Yeah.
Big game and opportunity to shut them out. Yeah. I'd bring it on. Do you know what would be hanging? He's drawing City in the final. Higher that, lower the low, can you imagine? Oh, I don't even know. Ooh. If I could watch that game.
Ooh.
It'd be hanging, wouldn't it?
That'd be horrible. But I'd take that. I'd send Sanchez in there at first. I'd take that.
Just for the way that you know that Jose usually lines up against Pep.
That's a story, but imagine that. They take the league, we go there, do that. It's like winning the league and the Champions League.
They're on course for a double as well. Can you imagine it swings like the derby where Owen scored in the last minute? Can you imagine it goes that way?
Oh, yeah. Be something that.
Where is the final this year? Is it Kiev this year? The final? Yeah, Kiev this year.
See how it all plays out, eh?
Three quarters of Manchester in Kiev, in Ukraine. Oh, mate, that'd be hanging. That would genuinely be the most horrible 90 minutes.
Yeah, it'd be a very heavy one, that, wouldn't it?
Oh, my God. But, again, if you win it. It's like in 2007 when AC Milan beat us in the semi. We could have had Liverpool waiting for us in a final. Mm. In Athens, was it? It was almost.
It'd been a heavy way to go out. It'd have been worse to go out in the final, I think, against them.
Oh God!
Under
yeah.
circumstances oh, God, like
yeah.
that.
Look, yeah, for Liverpool to get their sixth against you.
Yeah.
Or for City to get their first against you in a final.
Oh. That ain't gonna happen.
It could happen. Do you reckon you ever gonna hotball it, coldball it to make sure that we draw each other in a knockout stage first?
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Feel the weight in the bar first.
For the story, I think it'd be an incredible story, but it'd be hanging. I'd throw up if it.
Yeah,
if
it'd be a disgusting build up, wouldn't it?
Oh, to win it. I mean, we might be getting a little bit ahead of ourselves here because there's every chance we're going to be fucking bombed out in the quarters by Paris or somewhere. But you know, that's what football's all about. Is the hope in it?
Yes, it is.
And I think I think it's safe to say. We could probably do some damage in the FA Cup this year, I reckon.
Yeah. That'd be a nice little test for knockout competitions going forward next year, you know. And the extra games, you know, how the players deal with the league games, you know, competition games, juggling them. How Mourinho juggles it with the players, who he puts in, who he plays around with.
What do you make of him signing his new deal? He's only added a year, though.
Is that all he's added on a year?
He had a three-year deal. He's added an extra year onto his three-year deal. Not a long contract, is it? Now that might be the club thinking we're still fucking paying David Moyes off here at the minute. Like, I don't know if that plays into it. I don't know what the crack is there.
Whether they're doing something budget related.
I thought he was telling that he. Well, you think the January that Jose's had. So I think we won every game, didn't concede a goal. He signs his new deal. He gets Sanchez over the line. He's playing Angel Gomez in the cup. They've had a week on a. I was going to say on the piss, but they wouldn't have been on the piss, would they? They've had a week away in the sun. In Dubai. And like, there's a lot of positivity for this month.
And the first month of the year, taking that into consideration, it's just going to snowball. I'm December in the right direction. Dry,
but this is a Fergie thing of hit January hard, be within touching distance of the league. It's probably just out of touching distance. But hit January hard and then just fucking go on a tear and hit the... You know, foot to the floor till the end of the season, and it's kind of still all to play for, isn't it? I mean,
everything is still to play for. Realistically, you can't really see City stepping out of line much, can you? I can't personally, but stranger things have happened.
I think the only thing that could happen with them is that they think it's sewn up and they take their eye off
take
the ball,
foot off the gas a little bit, and
looking at the Champions League because they're like, right, that's kind of in the bag.
Well, you would if you was in their position, wouldn't you? You would play a little bit safe, but well, I mean,
they're not in great form at the moment. They're pretty fucking shaky. I mean, they dealt with Cardiff like it was nothing the other night, but. Bristol, give them a bit of a shock.
Yeah.
It was more of a shock, like, but yeah, they give them a bit of a shock. Obviously, the Liverpool result. I hope now people have seen the Liverpool result. They're like, that's the blueprint for how to get them beat, like, because they did a good number on them.
I hope that's put a chink in. Oh yeah, they really did a good number. I hope that's kind of put something within themselves as well. At an important point in the. It'd have been nice to come a little bit earlier in the season.
They were close, weren't they? Huddersfield, Palace. Palace with that penalty miss and everything. They could have. They've been close and they've ridden.
Don't get me wrong, they can run up, they can steamroll over teams back to back, but then they have a couple of matches where they have a bad run. I mean, we've been in similar positions ourselves in the past, but then it's coming at the right time. You know, it's coming a little bit late for the league, but it's nice with all the positivity in our direction, and then a few chinks and a few issues for them.
Just makes you pissed off that we threw away three matches in December. Not even that the game against them where I thought they was well better than us, but as mad as this sounds, don't twist my words because I know you love doing that. As mad as it sounds, they were well better than us, but were still lucky to get the result they got because I thought there was a two Lukaku cock-ups defensively, which isn't why he's here. And there was an opportunity for us to. I mean, they didn't score off amazing, beautiful play. They scored off set pieces, which is actually counter what you think of when you think of the City team. And then the three games that we drawn, where we well should have won, we wasn't under the cosh at all in any of them games. If we'd picked up those extra 6 points, we're looking at the table now going, six points, dickheads. Like, let's have it.
I mean, I'm glad that little spell's out of the way, and I'm glad this positivity January, I think it's good for the players, isn't it? To have such a kick going forward from January, because like you said, those three games, and that kind of period of December, I'm thinking, fucking hell, starting to get worried a little bit here. But turn the corner and we'll see. We'll play out the rest of the year, and it's nice because I suppose, regards to the league, a lot of people do think it's sewn up, don't they? There's no pressure on the lads.
Yeah, there's no pressure on us now, is there?
No, they can just go at it.
It'd be very interesting that if that lead does come down, like if City balls it up in the next couple of weeks, and that lead comes down to 9, then maybe 7, and you're like, with them still to play, at the Etihad, it isn't over, but I think. They're going to have to start dropping points quick for us to have any opportunity.
It's going to have to happen in the next couple of games, isn't it? Have a little slide, but look at our three games, like you said, it only takes a couple of draws, a loss, maybe a draw at home, start shaving some points off.
That's it. I mean, there's some of the games that we didn't have the luck in a bit last season as well, Joe, with like the Burnley game at home, the Stoke game at home, where you're like, we're miles better than these, we just can't get it over the line. They could do that. They could really come up against some teams that just totally shut them out like but the way they attack, they attack in so many numbers, don't they?
Yeah, they've got nice pressure, aren't they?
The teams that they're likely to lose against is more likely the bigger teams that are more adventurous against them. Liverpool did show us how to do it.
And
that draw that we got now is starting to look a little bit more credible, isn't it? After what they did to Spurs, what they did to City.
Yeah. So fast, aren't they? So fast. What do you think Coutinho going? Well, a bit off topic. What do you think him going away?
Everything's off topic on here, mate.
Yeah.
The money's crazy, but the money's been crazy in football for a few years now. The Mbappe money and the Neymar money is just, it doesn't make any sense at all. I don't think Liverpool are stronger for it, but I think the panic from Liverpool fans about losing him is pretty unfounded, to be honest, because I thought they was pretty stacked in Coutinho's position, with Salah and Firmino and some of the other players that they've got that I think can probably do what Coutinho does. Maybe not as good, but it's not like they've just lost an out-and-out goal scorer and now because they didn't really have one. I mean, Salah's been fantastic from the season.
Brilliant, isn't he? He's added something there, hasn't he?
If they had a number 9, if they had a Lukaku or a Harry Kane, they'd be dangerous. But I think it's interesting that they've added Van Dijk and not kept a clean sheet since.
Really?
Yeah, I think their system is more to blame than their centre-halves. And I think it's the same with City. Like, City are blowing obscene amounts of money on centre half, but I think it's because they're so adventurous attacking that they expose themselves. That super high line is easy to get behind. Mm. You only need a couple of lucky balls and something clinical. Yeah. And, you know, we actually saw it a lot with United under Van Gaal. We had a very rigid system, but the defensive line was so high. Mm. Whereas, you know, people give shit to Mourinho for that, but we rarely get done in that way. You rarely see United go a couple of goals up. And I mean, when Liverpool went, I mean, I cheered their second goal when they went 2-1 up, like, but when they went 4-1 up, I texted the lads and said 4-4 incoming.
Yeah.
And then they fucking nearly did it, didn't they? It gets all the way back to 4-3, and then in the last couple of minutes you've got Aguero having shots, and you're like, if they fuck it up from here, like, Jesus Christ. But yeah, it's interesting that people have actually decided to have an opinion on the style of play teams have got. Yeah. Because City and Liverpool are doing it like this. It's just as valid to do it the way United are doing it. Yeah. And Fergie always did it, this sort of style of play as well. People rose-tint the shit out of Fergie's reign, and like, he always played with wingers and he always went for a win. I remember United proper shit housing. So the Barcelona game in 2008 springs to mind. Any game that we played in Italy in the 90s, we shit housed it.
Yeah.
Like, counter attacking football is United.
Yeah, it is.
I don't think it is.
It definitely is. We're just so fast off the line, aren't we? Soon, I think, like you said, though, wingers and the guys that we've got coming in at the minute, I think that counter-attacking is going to be a matter, especially if we do have spells where we do shit out it a little bit and we park up and we chill, but then we're going to be off with Lingard, Sanchez, Martial. We're going to be rash.
The pace is there. The pace is definitely
there. We have to use that. It can't just be, you know, systematically breaking teams down. Spent too long trying to do that.
Far too rigid. I think it suits United being a bit more cavalier and ruthless the way he's doing it with these counters. What are you hoping for against Spurs? Wembley? Big pitch?
Yeah. Ooh.
Difference of White Hart Lane was.
I want Sanchez to bring something special to that game. That's me. I want him to bring something into that game. I want him to win that game for us. Put a massive exclamation mark on it on this month.
If he starts the way Lukaku started, I think Lukaku went 10 or 11 games, scoring every game, didn't he, prior to that Liverpool game, and then the wheels fell off a little bit. And I actually think Lukaku's a bit short of confidence because he's coming away from the box a lot at the moment. But yeah, if Sanchez can hit the ground running, he could carry the back end of the season for us. He really could. Yeah. And then
takes a little bit of pressure off Lukaku, doesn't it? Definitely.
Yeah, and then no one's even talking about Pogba. And then
I feel like it's pressure on him to force the ball to Lukaku and for him to score. It's like now it's like, all right, well, I like Lingard, and like, I know we keep going back to Lingard. I like what he does in Martial because they take a little bit of attention. And they, you know, drag people away and
while you're worrying about Lukaku, Martial's like banging him in. Check this out.
Yeah. I mean, I laughed the other day. Someone was going on about the price of him when we got him, and then how it looks now, you know.
Martial, there's properly bang average. Look at most of Everton's signings this summer. Proper bang average players going for way more than what we signed Martial for. You're a young lad with potential. A bit of an unknown when we signed him, but I mean, I don't know where transfer fucking fees are going at the moment. But it's the corner's got to turn somewhere where it's going to be. People look at transfer fees and go, like, I'm going to pay you 40 million for. Like a bog standard Premier League player, you're like, no. Like, we've got lads in the academy, you know, 10% under that.
Yeah.
That's fucking playing.
Yeah, that's pushing through.
So it might actually, the transfer fees might be the best thing to happen to young players because people just, I'm not fucking paying that, mate.
Yeah, definitely. That's a good point, actually. Start pushing them through.
I'll
do you think we're going to see Mo Gomez?
I was surprised we saw him the other night, actually.
Really?
I was surprised we saw him the other night. Yeah, I mean, I actually don't know what Mourinho was playing out with that there. Because he's barely played in the 23s. He's had a couple of decent cameos. Maybe it was part of, he's only just signed his contract. He was basically out of contract for a long time before he signed his pro deal with us. And maybe as part of the negotiation on his pro deal was, you need to be giving me some, maybe not minutes, because I think that's hard to ask for, but I think there's got to be a consideration. You know, I know for a fact, because chats with dad, he wanted him in first team training. And that was all he was asked about. I've not asked about the money, I've not asked about the length of the contract. I just want him to be considered as part of the first team training squad because he had the confidence that once he starts watching him in training, he's going to be like, get a fucking shirt, lad.
Yeah.
Well, his 2-minute cameo the other night or 5-minute cameo the other night didn't look out of place, did it?
No, he didn't, did he? He didn't. I know, I mean, I was playing a team that was full of fatigue by that point, but, I mean, yeah, he's...
I mean, imagine he buries that goal as he comes in, which I've seen him do time and time again, where he stands someone up like that, comes inside, and then opens himself up. Imagine he buries that.
We've got so many players that can be doing that. I mean, obviously, in the future, he is the future, isn't he? So many players that can be cutting inside and doing stuff like that. I think I first seen it with Martial, and I thought, oof.
His first match against Liverpool.
Cutting inside and just blitzing him. Then you've got your Rashfords doing it, you've got Lingards, this kid, Sanchez. They can all do it, can't they?
Rashford's getting a bit of criticism at the minute. I think people forget the growing pains that players go through. Mm. Like, I'm looking down there, you've got Ronaldo. Mm. Obviously, there's a lot of pictures of Ronaldo on it, like, but there's the back of Ronaldo's shirt there. Ronaldo went through some mega frustrating times. I haven't seen it, and it is on my list of things to do, but I bet Rashford's probably ahead of him in goals at the moment.
He's put plenty away, hasn't he? He has put plenty away. It's peaks and troughs, isn't it? He's a young kid. He's still coming through. He's come through very fast, and I think that people...
Yeah, I think you forget that. I think
people forget that, don't they?
Adjusting to the level he's playing at.
Because he's so reliable at what he does. People are like, well, now they want consistency all the time. But you can't demand that.
A 20-year-old.
You know, he's not coming at 100 mil. He's a kid who's come through and doing all the right things.
I think what's carried him as far as he's got isn't ability, which is... There's definitely ability there, but I think it's his attitude and his work rate. They are unquestionable.
Just chasing that ball down the other night, you know, seeing how the... Again, Yeovil, but you've seen how the match changed once he put that away. I think the other players kind of went, oh, thank fuck. You know, you put that away. Nice one, let's go to work now.
Yeah, I think that a lot of the time United can be shut out for a while, can't they? But as soon as that first one goes in,
and
you
he's
start to get
going to be the player that can break that deadlock, isn't he? He's got that about him. I remember watching him at City last season.
The 1-0 he scored?
Yeah, the 1-0.
And the Van Gaal season.
Is it the Van Gaal season? Yeah, he broke the line and put it away. And I remember thinking, as soon as he picked the ball up, I thought, this is it now. This is it. He's putting us away. He's the type of player that's
got that mindset. That I don't think
he'll dogfight it, won't he?
I don't think he's your traditional winger because he's always coming in for himself. Mm. But I think that he has to be allowed to develop that selfishness.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that if he was still 28, 29 and doing it, like, I'd be like, you've got to fucking fix this decision making. But at 20... He needs to find the parameters of what he can do, innit?
I'm looking forward to seeing him in some international football as well. I think he's gonna learn a little bit and develop a different style of play against different styles of play. He's not always playing in the Premier League, you know, that rough style of play.
Yeah, World Cup's an opportunity.
I think it's gonna be very interesting. He's gonna gain a lot.
I think if he's fit, he's going.
He's going, yeah. You need the pace, don't they?
Got Italian heritage on you.
I have, yeah.
So you're not watching them at the World Cup this year, are you?
Watching the only one team I'm supporting at this World Cup. Not them. Jesus.
I'm looking forward to
that. Was a national catastrophe, that, wasn't it?
I can't imagine what Italy was like for not.
He went into meltdown.
Like 10 years out from winning the World Cup, and then they're not even going. That's got.
I didn't even follow him. I don't know. I don't even know how that came about. I just seen it and was like, scroll past that.
Yeah, I can imagine. I mean, Italian football's in a lot of trouble at the minute. They had all the match-fixing scandal where you saw AC Milan relegated and...
They're football...
Juventus relegated.
Yeah, I mean, they're football... You know, they're a leading power in football in the world, but they've always had stuff going on that's...
Mafia, you know, isn't it?
Yeah, they've always had shit going on, haven't they, that's not great, and problems and one thing or another.
I think it's a shame, man, because growing up... Football Italia was the
Football Italia,
shit.
Like Channel 5 or something, Channel 4. Yeah.
James Richardson sitting outside cafes reading Gazette of
little cup of tea.
We recreated it on Full Time Devils a few months ago for one of the transfer rooms. It was pissing down, so we went and just sat outside United Cafe, me with a Daily Star and a brew. Yeah, definitely not like sitting outside the Piazza del whatever in Milan.
Milan, I loved it.
But it's a shame that Italian football's not the power it used to be,
like
when they were signing original Ronaldo, when they had George Weah, and everyone was in Italy, and you draw an Italian team.
You can imagine now with such bad press and maybe the way things are going on that we don't see that a lot of players are going. Oof,
attendances are dead, but I can imagine if you know the league's been bought, I can imagine it just erodes fan trust in the league, doesn't it? And one thing that the Premier League's got going for it. Because it's so competitive, it feels pretty fucking honest most of the time. So you can turn up and you can go, we're going to have a go at this today. West Brom can say, we're having a go at Liverpool today and maybe get a result. And I think...
I mean, even the state, you're crazy when you watch some of the games in Italian games. I mean, the stadiums are empty.
Yeah.
You think, what's going on here?
And it's a tenner. 7 quid, 7 euros, and you're like, I think it's on the back end of, I mean, I'll try, you know what, I'm going to try and get someone on from Italian football to talk to me about that, because 10 years ago, well, yeah, 10 years ago, they was world champions, sort of. They had AC Milan in finals, winning the Champions League in 2007. You know, they had Juventus in a final in 2003, I think. So, you know, they've had Juventus in finals recently, but the league as a whole, I mean, like, remember, like, growing up and you're seeing, like, Sampdoria all these Dele Exotic signed in shit. Even Barry, like, Inter and Juve and all of these teams, and you just think...
Who was your team?
Probably AC Milan, on a pure glory hunting thing. I don't support them, but I liked... If you had, like, you, there's a team that you always sort of got, I like them over anyone. Like, in Spain, it's probably Bilbao. And I think that team that won the European Cups last prior to Real doing it was AC Milan's 89 and 90 side, and that was Ruud Gullit and Van Basten and Ancelotti, Baresi, Maldini. That's fucking football, isn't it?
Legends.
And that Sacchi with that crazy 4-4-2 formation where, you know, there's 25 metres between the centre half and the forward, proper stifling and defensive football, and then they get the ball and the fucking whole team attacks.
When I'm pissing around on Instagram scrolling, and the one thing I find myself is always old Italian football.
In the 90s, it was the
breakdown, and I'm like, wow, Jesus. It was mint. I don't see that anymore.
Yeah, I mean, the Juventus team that United beat in 1999 was the best team in the world, and that was why it was such a big deal. Like, did we draw here or did they beat us? I can't remember. I can't remember if we draw or lost at home to them in the first leg, and then we go 2-0 down in 20 minutes, thinking Zaghi scores. And that's why it was such a big comeback.
Was a player, wasn't
it? Because you got a team with David, Conte, Zidane, Inzaghi. Don't think Del Piero was playing then. He might have been, but I'm not sure if he was injured or something. But you know what I mean? Like, that was why it was a big deal to overturn that team in their back garden, in the Del Alpi. Yeah, like, fucking hell. But Italian football's just... And obviously we had Ronaldo's Inter Milan as well that we played in that season. And you just think, Italian football's so far away from that. And it's a shame they're not going to the World Cup, because you want all the best teams there. You want all the big...
You do, don't you? You do.
Traditional names and all that. I am looking forward to the World Cup. I hate international football. I hate how it disrupts.
It's so long. It just doesn't...
Do you know what I think it should do? And UEFA, call me, right? We'll sort this out. During the summers in between the World Cup and the Euros, they should have a tournament... Or like 3 weeks of fixtures, like the World Cup in the World Cup years, where you do your qualifying. So you ignore international football, and then there's a camp at the end of the year. You get all the best Italians, all the best Spanish, everything, and then you play all your qualifying games in like a few weeks. And I reckon people will get proper behind it then. You can get into it then, can't you?
You can follow it a bit more, can't you, like that?
You're not like... What pisses me off is that first friendly in the season. Isn't it like a week after the start of the season? So you get one game in or two games in as an international break. You're like, fuck, all the way off. Are you mad? Like, you can't... International selectors are picking people on reputation because there's no one building up form in two matches. So you're like, well, it's a waste of fucking time. And then...
It's a bit of a waste of time. Just run out, aren't they, them, really?
There's one in October. There's one in November. I think December there's none. But we're about to start some again in February and then in March. And you're like, when are you getting a real roll on with your club? And it must... Some players probably love it, but some players must be like, fuck's sake,
especially if they are making ground or it's competitive in the club situation, you know, especially for some of our lads, are going to be, maybe they're going to be themselves, they're going to be like, oh, fucking hell.
Yeah, go away and get fucking injured. Yeah,
especially
them
friendlies, half hoping they don't get selected. Yeah. Sit on the bench and all right, and rest my legs in there.
Someone pulled a start out, because Giggs obviously just took over Wales, hadn't he? Yeah. Giggs was known for a pull out. Ooh, hamstrings a bit tight. For Wales, I think he played most of the qualifying games, but he played like one out of 25 away friendlies that they had in the time that he was a player. One out of 25.
Not at all.
Hamstrings a bit tight. I'm not going Moldova. Fuck yourself.
Yeah.
So it's been interesting, because how's he going to deal with players like Bale or something? Like,
what going to be throwing in a signal, won't we? Sending his assistant manager. he's got a game against Roy Keane, aren't he, soon? Assistant manager.
Has he?
Yeah, seen something.
Ireland versus Wales.
Yeah, how's that going to play out? I think Roy Keane's assistant manager there now, isn't he?
Yeah, to Martin O'Neill.
Yeah.
I wonder what Keane would be like. Because your assistant manager's meant to be the one that puts your arm around you, innit? Yeah. Your manager's meant to be the fucking...
It's probably going
to
be the other way around there.
Yeah, Martin O'Neill's going to be like...
He's a nice guy,
calming everyone down after Keane's going to be throwing fucking
football boots at everyone.
I went to a sportsman's with Dwight York, and he was talking about... it seems like he got away with murder. It seems like he really liked Yorkie Keane.
Right.
Which you'd think that Yorkie being a party boy, it'd be the opposite, but actually Keane was a bit of a pisshead as well.
Yeah.
So he seemed like he really liked him, and when he was at Sunderland, like he said they got beat 5-0 off someone. He said he comes into the dressing room, he goes, he literally went around the whole dressing room, he goes, and spent like 2 minutes just hammering everyone, their family, their mum, their fucking great granddad, ruining them. You should never play fucking football, then starting this guy. You're fucking shit. I don't know who fucking else signed you, blah blah blah. Then he goes all the way around and he goes, York, you need to pick your game up, mate.
Yeah, come on, son. Seen one the other day, read one the other day about Fergie. I think it was when Cantona did that Crystal Palace, and he's going round, he's going in, say, you're shite, and then at the end he goes, oh, Eric, you can't do stuff like that, son. And everyone's like, it was all waiting for Eric, so like he'll get the rap.
Okay. Yeah, it's Lee Sharp's story, that, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, I read it the other day. I was like, imagine that, can't you? And you just sat there like, oh, okay.
I think you have to treat Cantona different. Because I've always said you can have one bell end in a team. And I think, understand what I'm saying here when I say a bell end. Like, that selfish guy in the team that does everything for himself. And Cantona was that guy, but he made the team better by being treated different. And I think Ronaldo was that guy. Like, you allow them a bit of rope to sort of
play around a
little
bit,
bend the rules a little bit. And I think Cantona, to get the best out, because everyone else managed him, was like, nah, you've got to toe the line, you've got to do what these lads do. I think Fergie did it a bit with Van Persie as well. He'd train on his own and he would just leave him to it and that. And obviously, you got the best out of him by
doing it. And there's a bit of psychological there as well, when other teams know that these players bring a little bit of leeway and they've not got the managers tightening them up. They kind of like, I think that brings something to it. I think he, especially in his heyday, he was the guy that.
Oh, shit, I bet.
What he wanted when he wanted.
Oh, I bet last year when he was at United, I bet he was like, I'm not training today.
Yeah.
I bet that happened at least once. Yeah, Mourinho's like, yeah, cool, see you tomorrow.
Yeah. Catch up in a week. What's going on with him now? Do you know?
Paul McGrath,
What's going on with Ibra, Joe? Is he
no idea. The rumours for LA Galaxy seem pretty legit to me. I would have assumed that by March, when their window's over, I reckon he'll probably be an LA Galaxy player.
There's nowhere for him, really, is there?
No. I think Lukaku brings so much more gameplay than...
I like just having him on the team sheet. I just look at his name and he brings it. Oh, yeah, there he is.
What's interesting is that I've seen American social media accounts like TMZ and some others that aren't football accounts talking about Zlatan and the move to LA Galaxy, and you're like, this is maybe not on the same level, because Beckham was a fucking rock star, wasn't he?
Oh yeah.
But I think Zlatan going over is probably going to be, you know, not the same level, but a similar sort of vibe, as like the whole league's going to get a lot of attention for him.
He's taking his persona over, isn't he? He's taking what his personality. He's funny as fuck.
He's funny. Have you ever trained with anyone that's just gone on that level of like personal fucking ego? That it's that, because sometimes you get people, don't you, that you train with and that, and they've got an ego, and you're like, you're not even good, mate. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah.
But then you get some that are so good that you actually enjoy that they're fucking arrogant with it.
I've played
rugby with people that are that good that you're like, I love that you're like that.
I
think that's what it's like with Zlatan. Like, if I don't know, if like, I'm trying not to fucking be rude here, but let's just think of someone we've got rid of. Let's say Bebe or someone.
Yeah.
Right? Let's say Bebe was trying to walk around the place like he was Zlatan. He'd be like, you're a dick, shut the fuck up. But when Zlatan does it and he's got the trophies to back everything up, it's funny. I think it's funny.
Yeah.
I enjoy that kind
of
shit.
And as a kid, actually, two twins who used to play, and it was magical. You know, none of them ever made it because their attitudes were terrible, but, you know, played like service area, local teams, and they just, the stuff they used to do, they'd put 10 away and then just walk off. Oh, fuck off, I'm gone, I'm going home. I'm smoking cigs. And you think, these kids are, you know, they had all kinds of teams approaching them, but they just... just did what they wanted when they wanted.
And what's crazy is that they're probably the best you ever played with growing up. They'd be maybe like a sub at a Premier League team.
That's the craziest thing, isn't it?
So when you're talking about Zlatan
and
you're talking about Pogba, you don't know someone who knows someone that's as fucking good as them. Unless you know actual footballers. Like, you can't compare the levels, football especially, more than any other sport, because it's so like widespread that people play it from being five and four and three, that I think the actual 1% is at the very, very, very top are just so fucking good that it don't make sense. Yeah. Fucking hell. Right, let's talk about your fight next month then. So hopefully this is the last non-UFC fight you have.
Yeah, I mean, hopefully a quick turnaround with what you know, signing with them last month and the fight falling through and everything that went fucking tits.
So talk about that. You got real fat over Christmas, didn't you?
Yeah, I got fucking, well, I got real fucking big. I was seen in September. I seen the tough.
He didn't get fat.
On the fighter, not big. Well, there was a bit.
He didn't get fat.
There was a bit of puppy fat there. I can tell you that. The face.
Still got
to
10 stone.
Yeah. Long story short, manager sorted out for me to go on the Ultimate Fighter. That was the plan. Go on the trials, you know, get yourself over there. It was like, right, I'll tell you what, let's do it. So gradually building up the weight, doing it properly, trying to put a little bit of size on. Bearing in mind, I've been waiting 12, 18 months for a UFC contract at 125. These tough trials are at 145, but I was almost guaranteed a place in 13-0, undefeated series. Like, I'm going in. I'm just going to go in, stick it on these heavier guys.
Is this for DC and Stipe coaching for?
Oh, fucking gutted if it is. Gutted if it is.
I think it is.
It's they're in the house now. They're in the house now because we was going to be flying back January. So I'm sure, unless they've put it back and they've saved it, but we were supposed to be, we'd have had a 4 or 5 week camp from December when I got home from Vegas. Anyway, Vegas books, blah, blah, blah. 1 month ago, training hard, filling out, eating steak every day,
doing deadlifts of your arms.
Oh, mate, I was a beast. I'm like grappling with welterweights and middleweights in the gym, and I'm throwing them everywhere, and I'm thinking, this, I'm staying here, you know, and delusional, because I probably wouldn't have had a good run at 145 anyway.
I think it takes a while for your body mechanics to adjust to a different weight.
I can tell you, it takes a while for it to come back down. Fucking hell.
Tell me, mate.
Jesus Christ. And then, ironically, I get this email, can you be ready to fight in 2 weeks? At 125, and I just go, for fucking hell, I don't believe this.
But UFC calls, you answer the call, don't you?
You answer. So they obviously, the department, the matchmakers, who contacted me, wasn't in contact so much with the tough. And I said, I'm not sure if you know, I'm kind of on going down the tough route. And really? Well, the offer's there. Fuck tough, I'm going for this.
Yeah.
So I cut 20. I had 28, 29 pounds to cut in 12 days.
2 stone.
Flying to Winnipeg, flying to Canada, da 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 da. And it was a big opportunity. I thought, you know what? They offered me more money, considerably more.
So he's fighting Tim Elliott as well, wasn't it?
Tim Elliott, yeah.
So the one who's took DJ the closest, arguably. Yeah. I think.
And in my opinion, stylistically, one of the easiest to beat in the division.
We was texting on me at the time. I was like, I think you fucking
stylistically,
got him,
a fucking nightmare for him. He leans off to the side. He buys the feints. He hits the level change. Puts the head on the wrong side for a southpaw. There's a lot of things that he did that we didn't really go into, but it was like, if I was in okay shape. But I even said it when I think MMA Junkie interviewed me. I was like, I'm not stupid. I've done one sparring session for this. I was staying fresh so I weren't injured for a tough. Da, 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 da. I've not really pushed too hard.
What's the game plan on a 2 week fight camp then? You can't even call it a camp, can you?
One spar. I did one spar and I was like, yep, I'm short on carbs here. I'm feeling a bit tired. Are we looking for wrapping this up?
Did you listen to the John Danaher podcast with
Logan?
How many times did you listen to it?
It took me too long. You've got to break that down, haven't you? I think it's sections, actually.
It was really interesting when he was talking about the strength and condition side of it. Obviously, it's counter. Joe usually goes down the get fucking mega fit.
I don't do it. I stopped strength and conditioning. I did it an extra week or two this camp for the fight in February, and I said to my conditioning coach, we did it a week too late, and I was like, I'm done. He was like, really? I was like, yeah, I'm done with the strength and conditioning now. My spar was poor, I was flat, I was fatigued still 3 days after. And bearing in mind, a lot of guys who I've trained in America, 3 times a week they're doing conditioning. Mm. I'm once or twice a week tops. But now my spars, I'm feeling strong, and I'm feeling, because we've done all this, we've built the foundations, and we've done our periodization.
There's probably hundreds, but there's basically two sorts, isn't there? There's people that go, you spend all year increasing your skill level, you know, in jiu-jitsu, in wrestling, in kickboxing, and this, that, and the other, and then you do 12 weeks of camp where you go Spartan and that's why I went.
Realistically, now I wouldn't go for 145 again, but I was in a position where before I seen the application for a sportsman manager, I'd done like, it was like, you know what? Got the gym, run the gym, no fights on the horizon yet. Let's just lift heavy and get strong. And I was lifting, and then the weight was going up a little bit, but not much. And then this came, I was like, oh, well, I'll tell you what, let's just keep going with this and see where we run with it. And then we had to go full 360, get on a flight in a sauna suit, fucking skipping in the airport, you know, shadow boxing in the toilet. Fucking hell. Anyway, I got very, very close, and we notified him that, you know, I was going to be coming in a little bit over, but we was going to push for it. It's like, right. Da, 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 da. Long
What's
story
the responses short. On that? Because obviously you only see what the likes of Dana says, and it's always brutal.
Yeah. I don't think they were very happy. Like, it was just, I think I didn't know, but my team just raised concern to him. I was like, look, he's not doing well. So then they're sending the doctor every day to monitor him. Oh, just come and check your weight with me. And I'm kind of like, does everyone else do this? He's like, yeah, yeah, it's standard procedure. And I'm like, right, okay. And bearing in mind, I know a lot of people cut a lot of weight, but they don't cut a lot of weight. I mean, cutting weight when you're in training camp and you're in great shape and you're already waterloaded and you do everything else. Cutting weight when you're having 3 steaks a day and you don't really know how your body's going to react, because I'd never done that before. It wasn't the same cutting style of cutting weight. So I mean, I was amazed I got so close. And then
what'd you get down to?
I got to 131, and then the doctor came, so I got 5 pounds off from 154. Well, unless you've had
unless you've had
several poos for the last 2 weeks before it, and I just dried out to the point where I remember me and Robbie Lawler, I'm in the workout room, he's on the floor like starfishing, he's been there all morning, I'm on the floor like dying, and then I just kind of, the doctor comes over and pokes me, he's like, you all right, let me check you, and he was like, oh, he just pulled it, he was like, you're done. He's like, let's go and check your weight. So hobbled up. It's a funny story, actually. We're walking up these stairs. I'm thinking, why don't they take me up the fucking lift? Got me going up these stairs in this sweatsuit.
Who walks
past me and nearly trips over this big fucking industrial fan? Tim Elliott. And I looked at him. He looks at me and he kind of raises his eyebrows. And I just went, and I got this strength from nowhere. I was like, don't show him you're weak. Do not show this guy. You know, you, because at that point, I'm thinking, I'm fighting him in 24 hours. I'm gonna have an hard time here. Got into the hotel room. I mean, he's seen me in a bad way. He's seen me just kind of stick my chest out.
Aren't a lot of people on death's door with the weight?
Yeah, yeah. I'm trying to run the bath and get back
I've
in.
Only
and
did it once.
Oh, it's fucking horrible. Anyway, check the weight, 131. They ring the matchmaker. The matchmaker rings them. He goes, no, I'm not taking the fight. He doesn't want to take it. He's like, well, what, you know, it'd be a catch weight. He'd get more money.
How long did you have left?
I had...
Yeah, because you have to give like 10, 20% of your purse.
I had an hour. 30% it would have been. I had an hour. The problem was, the doctor wasn't letting me get back in because then he was liable and he was like, look, you can't cut any more weight. He was just saying these bad things happening with your body. Yeah? It doesn't look good. I'm like heaving and just all cramping. I couldn't straighten my stomach because of the cramps. I was like, do you know what?
What's crazy is that if it had let you and you'd have done it maybe 130, got another pound off, 24 hours later,
you know, I don't think that bitch weren't taking the fight no matter what. He weren't taking the fight. He don't like people. He don't like the UFC. He's got his own stuff going on. He's just a very strange guy. He didn't want to take the fight, and it played out well for him because then he fought a bum the week after, who also had an unbeaten record, but just wasn't very good. He knew he was getting himself into a bad fight with me. I think it was a lose-lose for him. He beats me, which he probably would have. I'm not daft. I was in a bad way. He's supposed to beat me. He gets beat. He's gone. His job's
on the
line.
What's your thoughts on the O? Because no one survives.
No. It's going to happen with everyone. It happens with everyone.
I find it fascinating that because obviously boxing.
Yeah.
When they lose, boxers usually their head falls off, don't it?
Yeah. I think in MMA it's not looked upon the same as it's not frowned upon.
Some legends with.
Oh, they all come back.
Pretty fucking ordinary records.
I think you come back better, don't you, after a loss? You don't really build your game. I think like MMA is a later man sport. It's where your experience starts to play. Like the way I train now, I've not trained today. I've had a day off. I'm 4 weeks out from a fight. There's people out there training 3 times a day, 4 weeks out from a fight. But
just eating blueberries. I'm
got no fucking blueberries left. I keep going in the pocket, searching for them. Get this fight won, beat this Brazilian guy who's by no means a pushover.
He's 10-1.
He's better than Tim Elliott in the grappling department, no doubt about it. Obviously, this is MMA, so he's unbeaten at flyweight. I'm unbeaten at flyweight. And I'm just going to go in and just... He's coming into a rough hostile, you know, he's coming
into... Victoria Warehouse, probably see it from our window here, actually.
I've probably got 200 tickets sold already for this fight.
Give us the link in a bit. We'll throw the link in the description. If you want to come, if you're in Manchester, it's on the 24th of Feb. It's the night before we play Chelsea, I think.
Right.
So if you want to go and watch Menga, just
absolutely... birthday
the next
day as well, so fucking birthday, big birthday day out and watch a bit of United.
If you want to go and watch him fucking twist Asdell's heads off, it's at Victoria Warehouse. Red Square, literally. Mm. You can see Old Trafford from it and vice versa. We'll throw a link in the description to come and get on that. But yeah, I find it fascinating, the O thing in MMA, because the only real O that you've got out there at the moment is Khabib.
Yeah. And he's done his dominant one-way fashion, hasn't it? It's not been extravagant and wild. It's been
effective.
So effective, you know. But a lot of it amiss as well with all of his issues, his weight issues, his injury issues. He's had loads going on. So I don't think it's up there where it should be. You know, 22, 23 and all.
23 and all, yeah.
Something
it's
like
fucking
that.
Fucking terrifying. I think...
it's dangerous.
I think he beats Conor. Mm. But I think Ferguson and could be... I'm leaning towards Ferguson.
He'll cause him problems because he's a wild one, isn't he?
It's his ground game.
I think he's so.
What's Khabib going to do?
He looked shite against Kevin Lee though, Ferguson. I weren't impressed with that.
He's going to walk him down because he doesn't shoot, does he?
He just walks people down.
He's like zombies
you
down.
Yeah, he walks you down, doesn't he?
He's going to grab you on the floor, and then I think that's what Tony's going to be expecting. So I would expect him to be looking to attack off his back big time.
For a lightweight, his style of pressure is quite strange, actually. You don't really come across it much. But he's just got a Dagestani.
You're not tempted to get out over there, get yourself a big Russian hat and find out I'll come here. We're going to summer.
We'll wait and see. Where United play? Oh, it's not Russia, is it? Where is it? If we get in the final, Ukraine. Where will we be?
It's not far, actually. Cause it's Chechnya, isn't it? Dagestan, Chechnya. It's not
far. Stop
off
on the way back.
Have you seen the pictures of the place?
I've seen it.
It looks exactly what you think.
They put a video on the other day of them, some paintballing thing in Grozny, and they're all kitted out, and I'm looking for, and I'm thinking, fucking hell, it looks like you're all going to war it.
I wouldn't mind going. I wouldn't mind doing it and doing like a vlog of it. Just go and see what it's like.
I mean, off subjects. I mean, I'm talking to ACB at the moment. Well, managers talking to him, and they're really keen to get me signed. But I mean, obviously, I want to go to the UFC.
They've got Kane on there as well.
I'm not sure.
I don't know who Brendan is.
Oh, but they're paying fucking good money. Put it, you know, they're paying good money anyway. So
they put some belt in fights. So Rob Whiteford, I think, in Glasgow.
They do put some good fights on fair play.
And
they seem to want to come back. They nearly got me a fight with an ex-UFC guy, Marcus Brimage, and then he pulled out of the fight.
I remember you talking about that.
They've got the guys, they've got the matchmakers, they've got the contacts, and they've got the dough. They've got that Chechenian government money, aren't they?
Allegedly, but I think back on Khabib, man. I think I find him fascinating.
The fans have really took to him well, aren't they? They've really took to his.
Which is mad because he speaks about as much English as. I think he does speak a tiny bit of English.
There's a place for someone like him, though. There's a place for that.
He's the anti-Connor almost, isn't he?
He's fairly
quiet. I mean, he does talk shit, but he's not extravagant with it. He's literally going back to Chechnya to wrestle fucking bears. If you've not seen it, there's literally, how old is he, what, six? There's a video of when he's about six wrestling an actual bear. Like,
ridiculous.
It's out there, trust me. This isn't a blag, this isn't a metaphor. No, he's wrestling a fucking bear. Bear's got some good ground game.
Have you seen a picture of the day of a guy got put in a boxing match versus a bear and lost an actual, in 19... Years ago, like olden times, and they had to put a muzzle on the bear so it couldn't bite, and it had gloves on its fucking hands, and it had a boxing match with the bear one. Fucking bear one.
Good job on that.
Didn't see the fight. I don't think they had videos in that time. There was just like some kind of black and white made up picture in a fucking caged ring. Right, it's getting a bit.
So what we were saying before, anyway, are we going to put it on record about you going 125? We get smoke this guy.
The UFC is the Champions League of MMA, but I mean, that fight week I turned up, I had nothing to lose, and I'm kind of walking around looking at them all in the workout rooms, moving around, having a look, and I'm thinking, you know, fucking hell, this is nothing to me. There was none of this starstruck, nothing to me.
You also trained at one of the most fucking elite places in America as well, aren't you?
I think what gives it me a little bit of a different outlook on it is I know. It's similar to football, I suppose, where you can have a team that can do something against a certain team, but then once you go up in levels, it just doesn't work. You know, you can have a player that can do something. Once he starts playing in Premier League, he can't do what he does in other. Whereas I know my blueprint and my style. I did it in my first few fights, and then people, maybe he's not going to work at the top level. But well, I've sparred the TJs, I've sparred all over the world. I've sparred in Brazil at the best gyms. Frankie Edgar's the man, mate. Nobody's caused me. I've sparred everyone. And when you spar in America, you're having a fight, mate. They're not, you're not going in there tapping around. It's no tech sparring, really. It's full on. And I remember Alpha Male, great guys, loved Jai Faber, he helped me a lot. But I remember going home after spars and thinking, I'm waiting for this tough spar. It's not really, I'm waiting to get overwhelmed, and it's not happening. I fucking got it off Frankie. But
what's that?
Because I was quite light.
That's a cardio machine.
There was a stone difference, but he does it with everyone. He spars people stone heavier than him, so.
Well,
he does it with
fine at 155, and not quite running. He was just walking
around.
What am I, 154?
Walking around, 156, and fine at 155. Having a piss and making weight. he helped my game a lot, and that's why when I get. That got that opportunity, maybe you'd think, whoa, don't take that, and but I know my attributes weren't there because I was out of shape and whatever, but I know skill wise I'm at that level. I'm in the mix, and it's just lucky for Tim Elliott that it fell under those circumstances.
Who does impress you in the UFC? There must be people that you look at and go, fuck me. That's just not.
You know what? I don't really fucking follow it. I follow the football more than I follow the UFC. I fucking tell you, I stood out lately. I was there, but I didn't even get to go in the arena and watch the fight. Dos Anjos at 170.
Yeah.
Oof, he's a different
he's
guy.
He's a little dude, though, isn't he, as well?
Yeah, he's a different guy. Yeah. I remember we was checking in, and I like looks to the left, and he's there asking about the weight cut and can he use saunas and this and that, because he's cutting a lot of weight, and I thought he looks fucking tiny.
He's fucking cutting for 170 as well.
Yeah, I just overheard him talking about weight cut, and it's, you know, he must be still carrying some size, and he just did a number on Lawler. But yeah, there's so many prospects, isn't there, coming through in the
UFC. I think it's mega exciting. I'd love to actually see them, Rogan talks about it all the time, switch up, because I think between 155, 170, 185, there should be another division in there.
Should be, should 55, adjust slightly.
55, 75 and 85. Yeah. So just make a 65 and a 75, because lightweight's well stacked, welterweight's well stacked. You could split them up and have another champion in the mix there.
Yeah, I think it'd be. I mean, they used it. I don't know what it's Nevada State Weight Commission rules, isn't it? I don't know whether it's not in relation to boxing, in relation to wrestling or something else. No, they have their own thing, and these 10-pound jumps on every five. But so many fighters like myself, it'd be like I'd much prefer 40, 50, 60. You know,
yeah,
a couple of classes
fives
in between.
I've been doing work with IMAF, which is mostly looking after the amateurs and all that. Like they're trying to get MMA as an Olympic sport, and I think they're gonna do it with the plans that they've got in place and how well run the tournaments and that have been so far. And we was chatting to the commissioners, the people in charge there, and we were saying like, do like 55, 65, 75, and he was like, yeah. And I was like, you could just do it.
Yeah, you
like,
could do
you
it.
Could literally just it's say, these are our rules.
That's
now.
The catalyst. All it takes is one, you know, and then everyone can start getting on it then, and it can,
especially
can change
amateur,
it,
because
change as we know it.
You could have an amateur weight classes, and then your professional weight classes. And he was like, yeah, we probably could just do it, actually. Yeah. Yeah, I was like, yeah, fucking get it done. Like, that'd be the one. Anyway, I think let's wrap it up there. We've done just over an hour. So, Menga, thanks, man.
No problem, mate.
I'm hoping to get to your fight.
Yeah.
It'd
be a good one.
I might be going to Scotland to watch Gossie and Demi Mitchell, but I really want to fucking watch you twist him out, especially with it being around the corner.
It's a fucking long flight from Brazil, that, to get his head punched. I think he's in Spain at the minute. I think he's got a gym in Spain. Either way, he's getting smoked, so I'm going to put him away. I'm fucking walk out of my United top on, I think, as well.
Not done that yet. Are you going to get on the shorts? It's the devil on the shorts or something.
Yeah, well, I've got the United colour. Everything's United colour theme. Shorts, red, white, black. So, need to get the logo on the banner, don't I?
So, you need to go and follow him. Give him a follow on Twitter. Wish him luck for his fights on the 24th of February. And if you're in the area, hit the link. Get a ticket the night before. It's night before Chelsea. So, I guess that might be.
We're going to bender straight through. We're going to.
If you're at the match, we'll get you on full time Devils after you've won afterwards.
Yeah.
You want to do a fan cam?
Might be a bit rough, but I'll come on.
I think it'll be fine. We've had different loads of drunk people on there before. Right, nice one. Go follow him. Come buy a ticket and get on a hype train, because we've got a United fan that is definitely going all the way to the top. I don't think that was going for a long time. But I almost want to see it. Sorry, mate. I almost want to see it just to see what happens.
It ain't going yet. We'll see.
Right, laters, everyone. See you in a bit.